The world-famous composer lived in Prague on Žitná Street, but he spent a large part of his life in Vysoká near Příbram, where he had a summer residence on the estate of his aristocratic brother-in-law Václav Robert of Kounice. Today, the Antonín Dvořák Memorial is located there, and its director is Vojtěch Poláček.
Antonín Dvořák, poprvé jsem přijel do tohoto regionu v roce 1877, a to na svatbu.
Antonín Dvořák first came to this region in 1877 for a wedding that took place in the church in Příbram, which is just a short distance away through the forest. Count Václav Robert Kounic married the actress Josefina Čermáková, who was the older sister of Dvořák's wife, Anna. In fact, Dvořák was one of the witnesses at the wedding, so that was his first connection to the area.
Takže to byl ten první kontakt.
Dvořák had actually had romantic hopes for Josefina rather than her younger sister Anna, whom he married.
To se odehrálo už jako delší dobu před touhletou svatbou, zhruba v polovině 60. let 19. století, takže asi 12 let předtím.
Well, this actually happened much earlier, well before the wedding, around the mid-1860s. So around 12 years prior, when Dvořák was still a violinist at the Provisional Theatre, where Josefina Čermáková, a famous actress, began her career. She performed in around 260 roles at the theatre. It seems likely that Dvořák had feelings for her. He taught not only Josefina, but also all four of her sisters how to play the piano, and it seems he may have fallen in love with her. However, this is not fully confirmed. The only person who attests to this is his son-in-law, Josef, who later recalled it. He also confirmed another theory, that this unrequited love for Josefina may have inspired Dvořák to compose his song cycle, Cypresses. So it probably did happen this way, but sometimes these facts are somewhat sensationalized. Perhaps listeners have seen the film The American Letters, but I think that it deviates significantly from the historical reality. In my view, Dvořák had a warm, friendly relationship with the entire Čermáková family. He was close to all the sisters, and in the end, he married Anna, perhaps partly out of respect for the family.
So, how important was Central Bohemia to Dvořák? Was it perhaps one of the sources of inspiration for his phenomenal music?
My toho samozřejmě nejvíc víme tady o vztahu k Vysoké. Narodil se ovšem v té Nelahozevsi. Ta už tam lze asi nejít.
Of course, we know most about his connection to Vysoká. But Dvořák was born in Nelahozeves, and it's hard to pinpoint exactly what might have inspired him from that early stage. He was born, figuratively speaking, between a pub and a dance hall, since his father, František, ran an inn in that building. So, in a way, he was probably absorbing music from his very first moments. Next door was the Church of St. Andrew, where he was baptized, which perhaps fostered his lifelong connection to spirituality and God, a theme present in many of his later compositions. There was also the railway nearby, which he loved throughout his life. He followed the construction of the Prague-Dresden railway line closely.
Pak ve středních Čechách vlastně jsou Zvonice, kde studoval, kde měl svého učitele Antonína Límana, ze kterým napsal.
In central Bohemia there's also Zlonice, where he studied under his teacher Antonín Líman, with whom he composed his first piece at the age of 13, a polka called Pomněnka, or Forget Me Not. And later in life, his main connection was with Vysoká, where he spent much of his time from April to October. Sometimes he came later, but occasionally he would even visit in the winter to check on things. Here he was deeply inspired by nature, often taking long walks during which he would develop musical ideas in his head. His connection to the place was strong, rooted not only in his enjoyment of the local scenery, but also in his friendships with the people here. He wasn't just a holiday visitor enjoying the countryside, he became an integral part of the community.
Director Josef Poláček mentioned that Dvořák would stay in Vysoká from April till October. So, was it something like a second home for him?
Tak většinu dobu tady zůstával, dokonce si vlastně stěhovali třeba z Jedné ulice v Praze nábytek. Nebo třeba.
Most of the time he stayed here. In fact, he even moved furniture from his apartment on Žitná Street in Prague to Vysoká. For example, once Janáček stayed at his apartment in Žitná while Dvořák was here in Vysoká. So he spent most of his time here, though there were many occasions when he had to leave, such as to teach at the conservatoire or for meetings with his publishers. So it wasn't that he never left. He primarily spent summers here, but would sometimes go away for various reasons. This was definitely his base, we could say. He would take the train, but it didn't come directly to Vysoká. He had to get off either in Příbram or Tochovice, and then travel by horse-drawn carriage. We also have recollections and testimonies that he would travel to Příbram on a mail coach on its way to Rožmitál, and from Bohotín he would walk a few kilometers to Vysoká.
Perhaps the most famous work of Antonín Dvořák is his symphony No. 9 in E minor, known as the New World Symphony, which he composed during his several years stay in the United States. Especially its second movement, Largo, has become almost folk-like even across the ocean. And it is possible, perhaps even likely, that he was inspired by homesickness for his native central Bohemia while composing it. Director Vojtěch Poláček also acknowledges this possibility.
Tak těch jako dokladů, že se mu stýskalo, je hodně. Jak po tom rodném kraji, anebo ještě...
There are many records of how he missed both his native region and more specifically Vysoká. He wrote letters to his estate manager here in Vysoká, asking how things were going in the garden, how the neighbors were doing. He sent them money so that they could enjoy themselves in the local pub. There are various quotes from him saying that the best place is simply at home in Vysoká, that many of his works were created there. Sometimes he also missed his children, as he was very family-oriented, and not all of them were with him. In America, all of his children stayed behind, and he seemed to suffer from not having the whole family together. I feel that Dvořák was quite exceptional in this sense. Many artists of his time had difficult relationships with their families and felt little responsibility for their relatives. They were the Bohemians of that era. Dvořák was very different, though, responsible and deeply rooted in his family environment, as well as in his homeland. When you mentioned musical inspirations, his New World Symphony is a great example. It contains elements of European musical traditions, but also American influences. Certainly, there's no doubt about that. American spirituals, for instance. Some even say that Dvořák's attempt to write an opera based on Longfellow's Hiawatha, inspired by Native American folklore, are reflected in the New World Symphony. Various rhythms of Native American music inspired him. So what's remarkable is that he managed to connect different musical traditions, making this work stand out significantly from what was considered standard at that time.
Naturally, the Antonín Dvořák Memorial has many fascinating artifacts and written testimonies about the everyday life of the musical giant in his rural abode.
Takových historek máme spousty, protože zrovna máme v tisku knihu Druhý domov Antonína Dvořáka, která vůbec...
Many stories of his life here are well documented. Right now, our book is going to print with the title The Second Home of Antonín Dvořák. It deals with the subject for the first time on hundreds of pages. Its author is Ondřej Šipka, who has done many years of research in this area. So we have the daily life of Dvořák here at Vysoká very well documented. He would get up very early in the morning. I think that was quite typical for him because it was quiet and he had times for walks and composing. Birds are most active during this time and birds were a great passion of his. Not only did he keep pigeons, as listeners might know, but he was also directly inspired by birds in nature. During his walks, there is evidence that he listened to the nightingale nesting here. I used to think it was a myth because, according to ornithologists, the nightingale had disappeared from this area and it couldn't live at such a high altitude as we are here at the Brdy Hills. But there are historical records showing that he did indeed listen to the nightingale here.
Jak už jsem zmiňoval, hodně byl zakořeněn do té komunity, takže chodil i nejen po Vysoké, ale i do okolních vesnic, do kostelů.
As I mentioned, he was deeply rooted in the local community. He would not only walk around Vysoká, but also visit nearby villages and churches, not only to attend mass, but also to play the organ at various events. He was good friends with local teachers. He wasn't an elitist. He was happy and willing to play at local dances in the pub. So he was truly part of the community and not just a visitor.
Hrál ještě, to zmíním, to je hodně pro ně typické, chodil do hospody, kde hrál karetní hru Darda.
I should also mention something typical of him. He often went to the pub where he played the card game Darda. It is similar to Lizaný Mariáš, although today it's a bit difficult to reconstruct the exact rules. There are stories that even when he was in America, attending concerts, in the evenings he and his wife Anna would play Darda in their apartment in New York. I could talk for hours about various stories that happened to him here in Vysoká. Locals thought of him as a bit eccentric when he was deep in composing, as he didn't pay much attention to his surroundings and would tap his cane on the trees. According to some accounts, he even needed a guide in the forest to keep an eye on him and help him find the shortest way home, where he would then write down his musical ideas.
To sum up, what is the Antonín Dvořák Memorial about?
Tak to naše místo je jedinečné, hlavně tím, že jsme teda muzeum takhle uprostřed lesa, opravdu.
Our place is unique, mainly because we are a museum located in the middle of a forest, truly. We are about 610 meters above sea level, surrounded by a park and a forest, and this creates a unique connection that is also characteristic of Dvořák. The landscape was the reason why he kept coming here. You can hear nature in his works. There are many different bird songs in his compositions, although I wouldn't be able to identify them all. Dvořák is deeply intertwined with the landscape, and his music corresponds to it.
Ale nejsme jenom muzeum, které pořádá různé výstavy, má stálou expozici.
But we are not just a museum that organizes various exhibitions and has a permanent display. We also serve as a lively cultural venue. We host many concerts here. Currently, I would absolutely like to invite everyone to our regular concert series, Musical Fall, which will run from September to November. After that, we will organize a series of Advent concerts in the surrounding pubs. This is our way of connecting with the fact that Dvořák himself used to visit these pubs, and we want to reach the most ordinary listeners. Our current exhibition is called Master Butcher, and I would certainly like to invite everyone to that as well. It's interesting because it is interactive. There is a lot of information, some of which is not entirely true, and visitors can use buttons to test what they think might be true and what is not.
Mr. Řezník, protože právě ten jeden nejběžnější mýtus je, že se nechal vyučit, že byl vyučený řezník, což není pravda.
The title Master Butcher comes from one of the most common myths about Dvořák, that he was trained as a butcher, which is not true. The certificate of apprenticeship that exists is a forgery from the 1930s, so you'll find many other such interesting and unclear topics in our exhibition.
A to mě jen tak napadá, koho to napadlo, nebo proč zrovna ten řezník?
Now, I'm just wondering who came up with this, or why a butcher, especially in the 1930s.
To bohužel vůbec nevíme, nicméně se domnívám, že chtěl...
Unfortunately, we don't know. I believe someone, probably from some left-wing circles, wanted to make Dvořák appear more left-leaning than he really was. Since he had a strong connection to the people from whom he came, they probably thought that that wasn't enough and decided to create the image of him as a butcher. This created the stereotype that his father forced him into becoming a butcher and that he was strict, but that's not how it was. His father was a landlord and a zither player who often performed in pubs and supported Dvořák in his musical studies from the beginning. So, in fact, the reality was the complete opposite.
Vojtěch Poláček, director of the Antonín Dvořák Memorial in Vysoká near Příbram. This institution keeps the composer's legacy alive, offering a glimpse into the daily life and artistic genius of one of the world's most beloved composers.